Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.
Hello, welcome back. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to The Union Edge, Laborers Talk Radio. Thank you for tuning in. We enjoy your company. We appreciate all the great things you're doing for the community, that's for sure. This program is sponsored in part by LIUNA, Local 373, and also the United Steelworkers, and we appreciate their support very much. Joining me today from the American Prospect, we've got John Goering. John, welcome to The Union Edge.
Great to be with you.
We appreciate you being with us today. You recently did an article, Francis Revives the Workers' Church. Being a Catholic and valuing working people as one of God's creatures, this is a good thing.
Absolutely. I mean, you know, worker justice has been central, as you probably know, to traditional Catholic teaching for a very long time. So I really think, you know, the Pope is reviving something old at a very important time, but it's nothing new. I mean, you know, the Church has been on the side of workers since, you know, Pope Leo XIII wrote an encyclical back in 1891 that affirmed the importance of worker associations and living wages. So, you know, I think this Pope is really drawing on traditional Catholic teaching in a way that's very powerful.
Let me ask you this. It seems to me that some of the evangelicals in this country and others are not really thrilled with Pope Francis simply for the fact that it seems that he's working for the common man. He's working for the common woman. He's empowering them. He's bringing up that labor is an honored vocation. And that doesn't sit well with some of the Southern churches that think, well, you know, we should just be happy that we got rich people.
Yeah, I mean, I think not only conservative, white conservative evangelicals have been resistant to this Pope, but certainly a number of conservative Catholics, even cardinals, who've been very outspoken and critical of Francis. Look, I mean, Francis is reforming both the internal dimensions of the Church and then shaking things up internally, but he's also a very bold voice for economic justice. You know, he talks about an economy of exclusion that kills. He's made economic justice really a pro-life issue, which I think sort of grates on some traditional Christian understanding from some folks on the right. So there's no doubt that he's a reformer. Again, I think he's drawing on the best of the Church's tradition and really kind of reviving the Church's social justice voice. And I think that's energizing a lot of people.
How is that affecting millennials here in the United States? Is the Church reaching millennials because of this type of messaging?
You know, I don't think we're seeing millennials necessarily. Like, the mass attendance numbers have maintained fairly steady over the decades. But I think what you are seeing, and it's not just with millennials, but certainly millennials are a part of it, is Catholics taking a new look at the Church because of Francis. So I think, you know, you had a generation of young people who were really alienated by the religious right. You know, they saw the politicization of religion from the right, you know, Jerry Falwell and others. And the religious right is still there. I think it's weaker. But, you know, you have a generation of young people who, you know, do value spirituality. They do see purpose, a deeper purpose in life, but they've seen religion really hijacked by the right, you know, over the years. And I think Francis is appealing to a much deeper instinct, you know, not only a spiritual instinct that people have, but a really renewed commitment to social justice. And I think just his way of being, you know, he's as much of the message as his message, if that makes sense. The way he carries himself, you know, with humility, the fact that he's not living in the apostolic palace, he's living in a much simpler place. I think that connects with people. And so even if young people aren't going back to Mass, I think they are taking a second look at the Church. And that's something, I think that's something that's going to continue.
There you go. And I think this is refreshing for a lot of people in labor. Here in the United States, Latinos, mostly Catholics, represent a large and growing percentage of labor union membership in the country. Women also, by 2020, will be the majority. Do you think this is drawing us closer to the Church, to the Pope, and as labor?
Well, look, I mean, I interviewed Damon Silvers, who's the policy director of the AFL-CIO in Washington, you know, and he really talked about the labor movement needing a bigger ecosystem, in his words, to grow and to thrive. And part of that is what you pointed to is the influx of immigrants, both in the labor movement and the church. And so I think, you know, both the church and labor are benefiting from this. You know, generations ago, as you know, it was European immigrants, Irish, Polish, Italian. Today, we have Latino immigrants. It's really revitalizing the church. And I think if the church and labor can work together, really, and reach these immigrants and build solidarity behind worker justice and union rights, I mean, that's a very powerful thing. And one thing I'm hopeful about, and I mentioned this in the article, Father Cleek Kiley, who works for the union Unite Here, is really building this network of labor priests around the country, again, reviving something that was very central back in the 30s and 40s. And so about half of those priests, those labor priests, are immigrants, and most are under 40 years old. And so that's kind of the new generation coming that I think we can get excited about.
And it's a wonderful thing. And I have to tell you, being a person of faith myself, I'm rejoicing in this for a number of different reasons. But one of the things I think is most valuable, and labor is taking the lead on again, is we see Catholics and Jews and Muslims and Buddhists all standing up together saying we should be, as Americans, as human beings, valuing the people that provide the labor, that do the work. And it crosses houses of worship all across the country.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, the dignity of work is central to the religious traditions of many faiths. And so I think, you know, and again, the Pope is appealing not just to Catholics or Christians, but I mean, I think he's one of the great moral consciences of our time. And I think he's reaching people, and he has a very big platform. He has a very big pulpit. He's got a global pulpit. And, you know, I think to your point, I think he's really rallying people behind his message of economic and social justice. And I think, you know, the key is how do we build that at the grassroots, right? If it's just a message from the top and you're not seeing a change in your local community or your local parish, then it doesn't have as much power. You know, and the Pope has said that the future of humanity is not in the hands of the elites or the powerful. It's in the ability of people to organize. And so I think we need to take that sort of template and use it for energy and purpose and vision at the grassroots level.
Right now, we're talking with John Guerin. He's with the American Prospect. We're talking about Pope Francis revives the Workers' Church. John, let me ask you a question. One of the things that's been very frustrating for me, you know, I've been lucky enough to travel around the country with the military and with other endeavors, and I've been to churches all over the country. Unfortunately, there are still some areas where the churches are used to go after trade union, go after trade unionists, to go after people that are different. How does the Pope, how does the American Conference of Cardinals fight back against that and put, you know, those people that are in the pulpits back on the right track?
Yeah, no, I address some of this in the piece. I mean, one thing that's really disturbing, I mean, there's always been sort of right-wing elements in the church and outside the church who have been hostile to union rights. But I think what we've seen in recent years is really kind of these relentless union opponents with deep pockets, like the Koch brothers, for example, investing in Catholic universities. So the business school at Catholic University of America here in D.C., where I live, has accepted over $10 million from the Charles Koch Foundation, right? And this is disturbing because there's nothing farther from traditional Catholic social teaching than libertarian trickle-down economics that would be hostile to unions. And so the right has gotten a bit of a foothold within Catholic institutions. There's a place called the Acton Institute in Michigan that gets a ton of money from the DeVos family, which has been hostile to union efforts in Michigan. And so that's something that I think is very concerning. And I think, you know, it does, you know, raise the question, how can church leaders push back against that? How can they speak up? How can lay Catholics draw attention to that? Because these are very wealthy people and they have an agenda. And I think, you know, folks who are in the pews, people who believe in the church's social justice message need to be countering that and speaking out. It's very important.
Is there anything else that we should be aware of today?
Well, one thing I just wanted to say for your listeners, so I wrote the article for the American Prospect. I work for an organization called Faith in Public Life. We're based in D.C., but we have offices around the country, including in Columbus, Ohio. And so, you know, we're really organizing and working with faith leaders and progressive activists around the country. And, you know, if I can give the website of the organization,
please,
people can check it out. It's www.faithinpubliclife.org.
There you go. John, thank you very much for being with us today. Do me a favor, stay on the line as we transition into break. But in the meantime, we've got to get going. I'm Charles Showalter. You're listening to the Union Edge Labor's Talk Radio.
Like what you hear? You can access exclusive content and other perks at patreon.com/theunionedge.